Well, hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Going Downhill. This is Wendy.
And I'm Shelley.
Hello, Shelley. How are you today?
I'm all right. We've actually had some good snow this week and colder temperatures. So when it's been around zero all winter and kind of rainy and disgusting, it's weird to have snow. And then when it's minus 10, which is really quite warm usually, it feels really friggin' cold, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You are not used to it. Yeah, well, you're just not used to it either. When you haven't acclimatized to actual winter anymore, it's a little sad, but... Anyway, but there was some ski racing that happened this weekend, and nothing got canceled.
Amazing. Wow. That's right. The ladies in Crans Montana.
Mm-hmm. The men were in Kitwiel. Do we want to start with the ladies since they had more races and they started on a little earlier?
Ladies first.
Oh, so you're so chivalrous.
I can open the door for you as well. I know.
So we are in Crans Montana, Switzerland.
The
hill's name is Mont La Chaux. It is 2,210 meters. The finish altitude is 1650. The vertical drop is 560. It is 2.17K long. And it is a downhill, so we don't have a setter. So that's always FIS, right? So there are 33 gates on this course. And let's think here. It was sunny, hard conditions. 2 degrees at the start and 6 degrees at the finish, so it was a little warm. But otherwise, it was actually nice weather. This downhill starts off... I mean, I don't think it's the most exciting downhill ever. They have a little jump at the end. They have some kind of hardish turns, a little bit of airs, but nothing that really sucks you in unless you're... It's pretty standard straightforward, I would say, as a downhill goes.
It is. I actually always liked... It there when I raced there, we had the World Championships there in 1987 and the prior World Cup there in 1986. I like the course, I think mainly for me, because there's not a super long flat in it. And they have kind of a really cool turn where you're actually, it's blind and it goes onto your right foot, but you're in the air and turning at the same time and you have to nail that line because it's like a, bowl turn. You land, it's really cool. Anyway, I like that turn. But otherwise it's pretty standard, pretty basic. But the snow softening, the girls had to really be careful with their touch on the snow.
Yeah, and you have to look at also with the touch of the snow at the bottom in particular, right? With the 6 degrees being down there. The next day they actually raised the finish. Usually you hear about them lowering their start, but they actually had to raise the finish for the safety concerns. But I would have to say that for the downhills for this one, I mean, it was kind of your standard fare. There is one section though that is glidey, so they did have to have a good touch on the skis. And you know, there was no huge swingers in that section, and you really just have to maintain your tuck. And at the top, it was a lot of the athletes that did the best that had their tuck really at the top of the course.
That's right. And knowing your line and maybe even tucking through some of those turns was advantageous to those.
Yes. Shall we go over our podium?
Sure. And you know what's crazy is we had another tie for second.
I know.
What's going on with all these ties? It's crazy.
It's so just that the field race, is that close. That's all.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that close. So Switzerland and Austria battling out for second place. Jasmine Fleury and Cornelia Hooter. So they're 0.21 behind the winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and both, I mean, they had very similar runs, these two, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, they both just skied it efficiently. They skied it the line nice, clean, carving turns. Got to keep that speed going. They did it not quite fast enough to get the win, but they, they got a tie out of it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then Guparamy coming in first. And kind of tying up now. Now she's ahead of Schifrin in the overall standings.
Yeah, so. Well, she's pretty confident there. She's won twice already in Crans Montana. She won it in 2020, both those downhills there.
Yeah. I mean, and she's also great for the Super G as well, right? So it's like there's no surprise here. She's skiing so strong. There was nothing that really stood out about her run that was extremely insignificant, we'll say. Any small mistakes that were made were quickly corrected. I thought that her gliding technique was spot on. Her use of terrain, her line, she just nailed it. I don't know.
She really did.
I don't know what that woman does for inspection, but it's probably pretty amazing.
Pretty good inspection. Well, now she's won 9 World Cups in Switzerland. So that ties her her wins in Austria. So moving on up.
The home, like, yeah. Did you find that anyone in particular had a standout run for them?
No, not on that day.
No, I didn't either. I just thought that everybody just skied how we thought they would ski. Like, nothing was shocking. There was no extreme surprises, no attack from the backs, like nothing that really stood out to me. It was actually pretty standard fare.
Pretty standard. Mm-hmm. They did have, remember a couple of years ago in the downhill, they did have last couple of gates cause some of the ladies, their line was off. And now I think they made it pretty easy this year to not miss those last couple of gates.
Do you think it too easy or?
Well, you know me. I always want them thinking all the way to the bottom. So.
Yeah, you're all in for making things harder, not easier. So am I to a certain degree, but you're definitely harder on the ladies than I am, for sure.
I know. But the second race was much more favorable for the Italians.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we haven't seen them pop on for a little bit in the speed. It was 0 degrees at the start and 3 degrees at the finish. It was a little harder, but they did move that finish up a little bit. So when you move and you shorten things, it means that you have less time to recover and a mistake could cost you a lot more because you're not going to have the room to make it up later in the course.
Exactly. So we're looking at, I'm just going to start with my attack from the back, I guess you could say, but the surprise.
Yes.
A surprise for me, Bosnia and Herzegovina. So she started number 28, Evelina Muzafiera, something like that. so her results, nothing too spectacular so far this year. In a Europa Cup in Kranz, she did get 7th, but her results so far this year in downhill were 25, 28, 37, 18, nothing super exciting. And then boom, she comes down. She got 4th place.
I think this was kind of a good track for her to do it on. Again, like this is a standard downhill. There was no huge tricks and stuff. And so I think it was her time to shine. If for those people that are kind of like trying to pop in there, she's in the top 30, she has it kind of figured out, but she needs to push that little bit more. You can have more confidence on this track. There's nothing that's particularly scary on this track.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, she was 28th, so she's obviously looking at the lines from above and learning from everybody else on the track itself. So I think that enabled her to give that confidence that she needed to. I don't think we could have predicted that she did as well as she did, but I it does make sense to for a certain extent that she didn't do it, say, in somewhere else.
Right. Well, I'd say this is her hallmark moment. Yeah. And
congrats. Like, that's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Well, did you see the podium's reaction? They were all like, what? They're like, wow. All of, like, anyway, good for her.
Well, it's a family on the circuit, right? So everybody's kind of happy for each other when something interesting like that happens.
Yeah, that's right. Especially from such a small country. So good for her. So, yeah, back to the podium, I guess.
Yeah, our podium, we have Lara Gut in 3rd. We have Frederica Brignone in 2nd. And then we have Marta Vecino in 1st. Marta's run was just like bang on. Amazing in the air. Just, yeah, nails everything. It was, I think that she had the greatest tucks and she actually risked tucking in sections where other people didn't get in their tuck soon enough.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, the Italians, obviously, she probably gave that course report up to Brignone, who we haven't, I mean, she has been obviously in the mix, but I don't think she's been on the podium since Tremblant.
Well, that's her 8th podium of the season.
Okay, so I'm totally wrong. Yes,
and that's okay. It's okay to be wrong. It's the first step. So but she had her wins at the beginning of the season.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. After. Right, thank you.
Okay, there we go. All right. You're welcome. So I think, Brignone, I'm really happy for her because she's been trying so hard and just not quite getting there. But she did tuck through one of the turns. It was blind. Mm-hmm. She had the perfect line and she tucked through it. No one else tucked through it. So I thought that was amazing. She was 0.54 out though.
I think that's where she made it back, to be honest.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she did ski it really clean at the bottom. But Bassino, so this is a surprise. This is her first ever win in downhill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that is absolutely shocking because we thought I would have thought that she would have been at least on the podium, like, in first place prior to this, but no, I guess maybe all we're getting confused because all the Italian women are just kicking ass all the time, and so we're
that it is entirely possible. So she was fifth in the first downhill, and that's kind of where I'd place her, you know, like 5 to 10. Downhill's not really her thing, but
well, now it is.
Now it is. She's had 6 World Cup victories, and now her first ever down. But I think part of it too, she didn't expect to win, so there's kind of that. There, that not pressure there.
Mm-hmm. And with right? bib number 3, I think that she was just like, oh, I'm gonna ski this and go balls to the wall and kind of give it all my, like, all that I got. And, yep, and she did, and she won.
Exactly. So with the downhill standings now, with I guess Schifrin not really in the mix for the downhill, we have leading so far Goop Rami, and then only, what, I'm not very good at math, 19 points behind her is Goja. 19 points. So it's still open. And then 49 points behind her is Stephanie Venier, and mm-hmm. then Hooter. And they're all very, very close. So it's still game on for the overall, for downhill.
Yeah, I think this is actually kind of one of the more interesting races that's happening for the overall globe as well. And then, I mean, we have Super G the next day. Or do you have anything to say?
No, let's talk Super G.
Okay. All right, so I mean, the Super G, you know, nice, beautiful, sunny day, 0 degrees at the start, 4 degrees at the finish. The start altitude is 2,116. The finish altitude is 1,545. Vertical drop, 571 meters. The course length is 2 kilometers long. This was an Italian set, Giovanni Feltrin. There was 35 turning gates, 40 gates in total. And it was a really nice day. I think that
spring-like.
Yes, very spring-like. And so I think that it was, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't think anybody had any really big excuses, but there was definitely some things that I saw. Tucking at the top was definitely key to coming into that top five. Then you have those long flats into that big left footer to right foot swinger. And this is where I found the set was actually, because you do have the chance as a setter in Super G to kind of make things a little creative. And I found the left footer to the right swinger near the bottom was definitely where you saw a lot of people make a lot of mistakes in the line. And the winners just, that's where they won it, I think. Like, I mean, they were ahead before, but then, but that's where they could win or lose it.
Mm-hmm. They were really swingy across. So, yeah, you had to get that clean carving turn. Even though it was a longer radius feeling on that outside ski, you still had to keep it clean.
Yeah, and if you ran it too direct off the blue, you would not be able to make that really tight red.
Yeah. Yeah. So inspection, folks.
Yep, absolutely. And course reports. So we have in third place, we have kind of a little bit of a mix. We don't have the Swiss in there, but we have an Austrian. So Marta Bissino, I guess, feeling good from the day before, came in third.
Yeah, 0.15 out.
Yep. And Frederica Brignone came in second, and she tucked at the top where a lot of athletes did not. And then Steph Venier comes in and just sneaks in there with first place. So, you know, Frederica Brignone is in the hot seat for all of 1 second.
Yeah, poor girl.
Before Venier comes down.
And it's so cool. 0.04 out for Brignone, you know? Mm-hmm. So close. So
yeah.
She does like the Super G here, though. In 2021, she did get third in the Super G. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she likes the hill, so that confidence helps for her.
Yeah, and then, we have Attack from the Back, obviously feeling pretty confident from her success the day before. We have Elvedina Muzafiera. I'm butchering that, but anyway, it's just, so she came from bib 46 to bib 16, or to placement 16, so that's great.
Yeah, yeah, some really good results for her, so that's exciting going forward to the rest of the season for her.
Well, good points. And that'll also increase her bib numbers too, right? Which will give her better tracks to ski on.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So out of the 49 athletes that started for her, starting number 46, moving up to 16th. Good job.
Yeah. I'm sure she was a little bit surprised about that one too. But again, good course for it. Good course. I don't really have much more to report on this one. I mean, luckily, we don't have any reports of any serious injuries. We don't have, for once. So
yes,
we do have perhaps Schifrin coming in rumored for next week. We will see if that actually happens. She seems to be feeling better. She did post a workout up on her feed, so I guess she's getting back into it. So we'll see who wins that overall, because it's, again, like, it's going to be an interesting race. It's an interesting horse race, that is for sure.
That is for sure.
All right. Well, yeah. Before we move on to the men, let's thank our sponsors, Vocal Marker Del Bello, Freshwater Distillery, and Helly Hansen. Thank you. Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much.
Yes. All right, so the men ended up being in Kvitfjell, Norway, which is obviously, I have a bias towards this track because I used to live below it. So I know this track extremely well. It is in a small, small little area. There's a train station at the bottom. And yeah, it was good. I mean, we had some problems with training. We had some injuries. Sarah ended up injuring his calf in a fall. In training, so he decided to take the weekend off, which is going to be good for Odermatt and the downhill globe. And then
That's right. We
have a couple of others. Schetterstedt apparently dislocated his shoulder, that's a rumor. And who else? There's one more. I'm pretty sure. Oh, Maxence Mousseton.
Yeah.
Injured his knee, apparently.
Yes,
so.
That's right.
So another three men bite the dust, unfortunately. I mean, like, so many injuries, so very many injuries. But
well, speaking of injuries, I just want to draw attention to our Canadian athlete, Liam Wallace.
That was quite serious.
Very serious. So the problem is he's still in ICU in Bulgaria, and unfortunately, no cell phones are allowed there at all. So he has zero contact with his family and friends.
Why are no cell phones allowed?
I don't know. They're in Bulgaria, man. That's their rule. So no cell phones. So he has no contact with anybody. So the poor kid is just laying there in bed all day long. Like, it would be horrible. But his dad is over there, but he only can visit him for 30 minutes a day for like half an hour at lunchtime. That's it. So the poor kid only has a half an hour visit with his dad each day for half an hour. That is it.
Aww.
But what I'm hoping that we can do, because he can't go on any social media or anything like that. Right, he's just like laying there. So what I am asking Canada and anyone in the world who is following the story of our Liam Wallace is maybe we can send an email to his dad, and his dad is printing off all the emails of encouragement, printing them off and bring them to the hospital for him to read. I know. So if everyone can grab a pen, I'll wait a moment, and paper. And okay, you got your pens? Here's the email that would be fantastic for the world to help support our young Liam Wallace. And the email to me sent to Scott Harold Wallace, which is scotthharaldwallace@gmail.com. I'm sure those words of encouragement will help get him through those lonely days just laying there all by himself. So
yeah,
hope he gets better soon.
Maybe we can send him a transcript.
That's right, his dad can print it out. There we go. Got it. Anyway, let's get better soon, Liam.
Yeah, absolutely, poor guy. And get you out of there so you can have some more social opportunities in a place where you're allowed a cell phone. I can't believe they can allow that. Like, wow, that's absolutely crazy. I was wondering maybe if it's an ICU, they're worried about interfering with equipment, but that shouldn't happen.
Well, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Don't have a cell phone, but why does the dad only have to stay there for half an hour?
Yeah, that too. That's... Anyway,
we don't know anything about Bulgaria, but anyway,
I feel like I want to look it up anyway, because I am that nerd.
I know you're an analytical mind.
Yes, yeah. I am. So we had our first downhill in a while. The last downhill was Kitzbühel on January 20th. So it's almost been a month. I know. Yeah. Right. So this track, as I said, I know it well. This track is about precision a lot of the time. It's not the hardest track on the circuit by far, but it does have a lot of fun turns and fallaways and a lot of little like micro terrain, so like little bumps, little rollers that happen in the middle of turns. So you really have to be sure that you're running the ski on the snow, because you can really get pushed on your heels quite quickly with the little compressions here and there. And you really have to be mindful of where you are for your line when you're in the air for a lot of turns, like the Janzer jump.
Cool,
yeah, like some really cool off camber little jumps and stuff that like keep you on your toes technically. And then for the last little bit, you have this carousel that then eventually leads into this 60 degree, very, very steep ending, then comes into a couple of turns. So you really have to have it dialed in. But for that last portion, it's really all about the speed and how you carry your tuck, essentially.
Well, I wonder if Eric Gay gave any pointers in this. He did win the downhill in 2014 here.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie Podobinski, this is where the Olympic downhill was held. And he was bronze in those Olympics.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a cool course. I mean, the start name is Kvitfjell Olympiabakken, which is obviously the Olympic run. The start altitude is low. I mean, it is a very low place because you have the fjords and so on and so forth. So it's only 1,020 meters high, and the finish is 182 meters. The vertical drop is 838, and the course length is about 3 kilometers long. There are 29 gates on this one. The snow was, it was fairly sunny. You come in and out of shadows because of the run is kind of, it is paired, like, what do you call it? When you, things are on either side of you.
Life? I don't know. Yin, the yang.
Oh my God. It's line, there's tree lines on either side. So really, like, the way the sun aspect works is that you will come in and out of those tree shadows, essentially.
Yes.
I am articulating this extremely poorly. I will fully admit. But anyway. Yeah, I know, right? Oh, we all have our days. The start temperature is -8. The temperature finish was -3. So really optimal conditions for the downhill. I don't think anybody can complain about the snow conditions either. It was hard. It was compact. It was fine.
That's right. Now, they did have this course designed by the Swiss Olympic and world champion, Bernard Roussy, and halfway through on the flat part, right opposite the hotels where the athletes stay, actually, there's a jump named after him.
Yep. It's also right where there's a really nice bar called Koya, which is very cute, so people can chill there.
Okay. Well, that's nice. So they did have to shorten this race course, and the problem they had is in the first training run, well, I don't know which one was it. They had an issue with fog at the top, or they had an issue with snow on the bottom. So they didn't really get a very top to the very bottom training run in here. They had two shortened training runs.
Yeah, and that, again, speaks to the fact that, you know, like, you don't really know exactly where you stand, because one little mistake can cause you a lot of problems. So you really have to go over your video that night and really look at it closely to see, like, where you can gain that time. But knowing that where your fatigue is going to set in on this course is also key, and it doesn't give you the same ability to analyze, we'll say that.
Yeah, that's right. And on a shortened course, of course, the times are so much closer.
Yep. I mean, I think you really liked this podium.
I do.
So
I really do.
I really liked it. So we're just going to go to the podium first. Cam Alexander, bib 5, just rocked it. You know, like, really strong, really precise off those jumps that we were talking about, getting that little bit of air, especially on that right footer off the top. There was a bit of an off camber air turn. And if you have to have the direction going into the turn, and by direction, we have to mean that the skis have to be pointing in the direction that you want to land prior to going off of it, because otherwise you're going to end up in the schluff, which we saw a couple people make that mistake. And that was really where people had issues at the top. Otherwise, it wasn't too tricky.
Yeah.
It was really that one turn that killed people. And Cam was the first one to really nail it very cleanly, very closely. And it was nice. But then, of course, your favorite, Vincent Kreikmeier, comes down, does exactly the same thing, and beats him by, 11 honeys.
Yeah, it was so close. And yeah, crap. But you can just see Cam Alexander. I mean, you can't even celebrate because you don't really know. It's hard to tell when you start number 5. But then Kreikmeier comes down and you can just see Cam go, oh, crap.
He was like,
it was nice while we lasted it.
And I think, because he was bib 5, he was also like a little dejected, because you know, like, he's expecting everybody to be. I bet he didn't even think he was on the podium at all. He was just like, ah, well, maybe like a top 20. All right.
Yep. Here goes Krankmeyer, number six.
Well, because Krankmeyer, no one expected Krankmeyer to do as well as he did. I mean, he has podiumed here before, but that was quite a while ago. I mean, he podiumed here in Super G, actually, for 2015 and 2016. Right. So he knows the hill and he likes the, but he really hadn't been on like in much on the podium since then.
He really hasn't. Like in this season alone, he was 5th, 13th, 5th, 7th, 6th. Mm-hmm. Right. So for him to finally bust out on the podium, he's probably like, oh, get that monkey off his back. So, yeah. So he got 2nd, starting with my soccer number 6.
Yep. And then we have Niels Hinterman, which was bib 7 coming in. We haven't seen him, I think, winning a podium this season at all. So, Kvyat is always a little bit to favor some of the more techie skiers, we'll say, because of the precision in that micro terrain, I think.
Well, that's right. So, Cam again, his face just went, and now I'm in third, and then who else is coming? So, Niels and Cam Alexander actually shared first place here in 2022. So that's kind of cool. So Cam's 3rd, and then there's Hinterman on the podium in 1st.
Yeah, they're podium buddies.
Yeah, so that's nice.
And then, you know, we have to give props to Jeff Reed, coming from bib 37 to 6th place. That's pretty amazing.
Super exciting for him. Now, his confidence, like, he's been skiing so well. He's like quiet. He's like a ninja. Just comes down, he's clean, precise. You don't see him coming, you know, because he's not like a Krankmeyer or a Kilday or something. So he's sneaky. Mm-hmm. But he was heading for that podium. Do you remember in Kitzbühel?
Yes.
Like there's no way he could lose that amount of time. He was on the podium in Kitzbühel till he went for a little slide on his side there, but just so smooth and clean. And that was the 2nd best result of the season for him in downhill. So 37-6. That's very exciting.
Yeah. Canada historically gets along well with Norway in this regard, so I'm happy for that. I think the one interesting one is Von Almen, Von Almen, Swiss, very young, and I think it was his like 5th or 4th World Cup start.
He's
been starting off strong, and to come in that top 5, I think we're gonna see great things from him.
Absolutely. You know what wasn't great was Dominic Paris. Did you see what he did in the turn?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He started the turn. Save that.
Oh my. You want me to save that?
No. He saved it.
He saved that. Yeah, he did. He going full speed, got inside, slid on his side in a turn. His ski actually booted him out. They got close together, hit the other one, caused him to go inside, and up he bounced, and he kept on going. It was quite amazing. It's like, did that just happen?
Yeah, he's so strong. That's what saved his balls there, really. Like, that's amazing.
Like, actually.
And if you look at, actually, Dominic Paris, so from 1st to 18th, 1 second. It was only 1 second. So, I mean, it was definitely a race for any of those guys, and very fun to watch, even though you had some of the later numbers sneaking in there, like Niels Alphon from France coming from bib 46 to 13, Josua or something like that, Mettler, bib 32 to 9. So we did have some attack from the back, so it really was an opportunity for a lot. Wiley Maple, USA, 48 to 19th. There's these types of numbers, always exciting to see all that happen. And then, you know, Jack Crawford sneaking in there and getting a 23rd.
Well, that's, downhill's not his thing, Super G's his thing, but still very disappointing. And he was doing quite well in the top half of the course. Mm-hmm. And then he made 3 mistakes on the bottom. I'm surprised he still ended up in 23rd.
Yeah, it just goes to show that his top was that solid.
That's right. And that was his 100th race start in the World Cup.
Oh, interesting. All right, well, shall we move on to Super G?
Right after I let everybody know that Brody Seeger from Canada got 29th. And Kyle Alexander, not his best day, ended up in 60th. So that's not good. But again, the times are so close. It's crazy. Did you see that fella from Norway, he started 60th and ended up 30th. That's exciting.
Yeah, and I mean, well, he's probably skied this run a ton as well, right? So he's got a little bit of a home advantage.
So downhill standings. So this kind of sort of tightens it up a little bit-ish. We've got now after that race, the overall downhill standings were Odermatt, who we did not mention yet. He was not on the podium in the downhill. He's got 552 points. Sarazen, who's injured and out for the rest of the season, was the closest one to him. And now we've got Dominic Paris from Italy. He's got 342. And right behind him, Krijgmeier. So those are the top three overall right now. I think it's going to be tough for anyone to catch Odermatt in downhill. Yeah.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, how many downhills do we have left?
One.
If that. Yeah, we just have we have Saalbach and that's it. All right, let's talk about the Super G.
Okay.
The start was moved down because of weather, obviously. It was -5 at the start, -5 at the finish. Same run, start altitude is 709, finish altitude 182. The vertical drop is 527 meters. The course length is 2 kilometers long. This was a Swiss set, 30 turning gates, 34 gates. I have to say, really interesting to see that the Rossi jump is where they started this one. So right up where that hotel was that you were mentioning earlier. And I liked the set. It was interesting. It used the terrain very well. People had to take a little bit more of a chance on their line, I think, to be able to win this one. But once you get to the bottom, that carousel to the steep, to the bottom, it's really it's really the same.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to change that set too much down in that section, but starting from the Rossi jump, I mean, they have to get super strong start, right? It's pretty flat there.
You cannot make a lot of mistakes in a short course like this. I mean, it was only 1:09 was the winner, right? So you have very little time to make up for a mistake.
That's race. That's right. So again, super tight with the times, right? So it's fun to watch.
Yeah, from first to 31st is 1 second at that point. So everybody's within 1 second of one another. So it really could have been anybody's role. And this is the interesting one where you have Pietro Zazzi, the Italian, going from 50th into 6th. Then you have Sam Morse, USA, 42 to 14th. You have like a whole bunch of attack from the backs in here. Sam Alphand from France, 53 to 28. Lars Rochdi, 59 to 29. Like it just goes on and on. The list of everybody just kind of popping in there. It was definitely a little probably more disappointing for some of our starters like River Admis, who had bib one and then ended up in 37th. I don't think he saw that one coming.
No.
Again, like interesting podium. Marco Odermatt wasn't on it, just missed it with third. Well, he tied for third, really, so with Dominic Paris. So he's on it, but he's barely on it.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know, Paris was really strong in this one, came through and just rolled it. And our Canadian, Jeff Reed, second place. Nice job, buddy.
Right. So I'm going to back up to Odermatt and Dominic Paris for a second. So Paris did win here in 2019. And so he does have that confidence on the course. And his build is quite good, I think, for the shorter sections of the course.
And the shorter ones. And he's strong and with the technical stuff as well. So I agree with you.
Okay, now we can talk about Jeffrey Reed. Woo! There we go. Now we're talking. It's his first career World Cup on the podium, second place. And it was tough from, like, he started number 3. So you can't even celebrate, right? Because, you know, everyone's coming down still. So, you know, he looked confident. You know, his run was very composed. It was very clean. Like I said, he's like a ninja style, just smooth and clean. But you can't celebrate when you're only starting number 3.
No, and it was funny watching his reaction when Odermatt came down and came up down behind him, like 0.02 behind him. His reaction was so happy. He was like, oh my God, he couldn't believe it that he was leaving the hot seat. It was great. But then he had to leave the hot seat just after Odermatt because Krijgmeier came in.
Oh, that freaking Krijgmeier, right?
I know, right? 0.17. Yeah. You beat him.
Yeah. He beat him. Close. Yeah, freaking Krijgmeier. But he skied well, right? Yes. And he was just trying to be more relaxed in his approach. He said he put too much pressure on himself earlier and to win and win and be aggressive, and that is part of it. However, there's a point where you almost try too hard, mm-hmm. and he kind of felt like he's just going to relax, have some fun with this race, and he actually made up 0.4 seconds
yes
on like the last five gates. How did he do that?
Well, I think it was that relaxation that you're talking about. When you are tensed, you can't really accelerate a ski very well. It's one of those things where when you relax, you can deal with all the little micro bumps, little bobbles. And when you're relaxed, you can run a flatter ski better. You can't run a flat ski very well and get into your tuck if you're too tense.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, the last 0.4. Too bad for Jeff. He skied so well on the bottom part, Kreichmeier, but, you know. That's the racing game, but we're so excited for Jeffrey Reed to get out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cam Alexander from 20th to 5th, like really great for him as well.
Did you see how far out he is from first? Mm-hmm. 0.21.
Yep.
0.21.
Yeah. Obviously got some good course reports, and he didn't have the cleanest line at the top, and that's, I think, where he kind of had to make it up at the bottom.
Yeah, he did make a mistake over a I'm going to call it a jump. If you don't have the right direction, and that's where James Crawford actually went out. He didn't have enough direction, so he went off the bump. He's in the air. You can't correct in the air. Landed, and he was just, he couldn't make the gate, Crawford, so he didn't finish. But Cam Alexander made almost the exact same mistake. He went too straight off that jump, mm-hmm. and he just barely made it inside that gate. But this was his best result in Super G ever. His prior best result was 7th.
Yeah, I mean, it was the right, like that right footer that we're talking about where you get that little bit of air, you need to have that direction.
That's right.
You also have to really have, in this course, really good ski to snow contact. You can't really, you don't have the luxury of losing it all the time. So also the quicker that you're on the snow and you're not in the air as much and you're not getting pushed back in those compressions again. Like it's just, you really have, because of that, again, that lower start, you don't have the time to make it up. You want the skis on the snow to be able to accelerate. You don't want to be in the air that much. It is your game to lose if you're not paying attention to your course reports and inspection. And coming into that one right footer, to me, is where the majority of people lost this race.
Yeah, absolutely. A few others got pushed low or just cranked it, lost all their mm-hmm. speed for the rest of the course. You can't make that up on a course when it's so tight like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad we agree on something else.
Yay! It was windy. It was snowy. It was icy. As we talked about, they did lower the start. But I wonder, you know, if there's foggy, misty stuff going on, maybe that could have had an effect on some of the racers. I don't know, because some of the latter starters were actually in the green on the top half of the course.
Yeah, and you don't know. Sometimes the weather will actually firm up the temperatures, and they'll firm up with the wind up the top, so they'll have a better track than some of the later start or the earlier starters. So that is a factor as well that we can look into.
Well, something that could have been really exciting for Odermatt is if he was first or second, which he wasn't, he would have wrapped up the Super G crown. So now they've made it a little more exciting with one more race left in the season. Kreichmeier is in second right now behind Odermatt, but Kreichmeier's like, it's impossible to win overall.
Yeah.
So, I mean, statistically, Kreichmeier can win, and Odermatt has to finish outside of the top 15. So, you know, that might not happen.
Mm-hmm. It is coming down to the wire on that one, that's for sure.
Yeah, so Odermatt has 450 points, Kreichmeier 369, and then Hauser from Austria is third in 251 points, but I don't know. I think Odermatt's got it, basically.
Yeah, I think so. My money's on Odermatt for sure.
Did you watch that guy from Norway, number 53? He went off a bump. He got twisted in the air. He landed switch. Well, there's no points for that in Super G.
Yeah.
He landed, like, what are you doing? That's the wrong sport, man. Anyway, he turned around. He missed the gate, but it was a very impressive recovery.
Yeah. That was one of those ones where your heart's in your mouth a little bit. Like, you're just, you're hoping that he does not catch those.
Yeah,
the speed ski edges or tails, like, and just Looney Tunes it to the ground, because that would have hurt. But yeah,
that would have been really bad.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. That kitty cat landing is supposed to be going forward, not backwards.
Wow. Yeah. Anyway, thank goodness he's all right.
Other than that, I don't really have much to report on. Do you?
No, I just want to give another shout out, a reminder. Hey, everyone around the world, please send Liam Wallace an email and lift his spirits.
Absolutely. So thank you very much for everybody for listening. And I guess for this one, I've been Shelley.
And I've been Wendy.
Keep your tips up.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Are you ready?
I was born ready, baby.